I rely on the Holy Spirit to always lead and to guide. So it's definitely not me, but I pray the Holy Spirit do his part, for I am not able. And I just want to say thanks to everyone who has engaged this morning. The praise team, you guys did amazing. Sean and Reese, thank you for the scripture reading. Sister Shelley, thank you so much for leading us out, and for Brother Jomo and the tithes and offering. Just a little bit about me, actually, a little bit about me, I just want to say, this morning, I don't know how your Sabbath morning was. I'm sure that the Sabbath school class was great, but the youth Sabbath school class this morning was amazing. So I just want to encourage you to just let your young people join us. We are on the same platform here, just in a different room. And we had a great discussion on education and wisdom. So yes, so please, I encourage you and your young people. But yes, just a little bit about me. Little disclaimer, not yet a lawyer qualified, but the Lord has blessed me to start that journey. So I just want to give God all the thanks and the praise. And yeah, so I'll just do a quick word of prayer for us to start. And I just want to pray, Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to me and speak through me. I pray, oh Lord, that you'll hide me at the foot of the cross, Father, as I speak to your people. Father, we praise you, we love you, and we thank you. And we pray that you'll continue to be by here, leading us out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be going through a lot of various scriptures today. So feel free to grab your Bible, pen and paper, as we dig into the word and help ourselves. So a little background on the scripture reading that Sean and Reese read so lovely. It says, "You have done a foolish thing," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." And just a little bit of a background on this scripture. Samuel, who is saying this to King Saul, was he was the last judge, and he was also a prophet, and he would be the one to anoint the first two kings of Israel. And so God spoke to him and gave him some instructions. And if you have your Bible, you're more than welcome to go back in verse 10, in chapter 10, verse 8, and it gave him the specific instructions that he was meant to do. Which was, 7 days, go, and then what we will do is he will offer the burnt offerings, and then he will then tell him what to do. That was the more or less the whole instructions. And Saul failed to take heed to those instructions that was given to him. During the time that this was happening, the Philistines, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, were assembling to fight Israel at the time. So just picture this. Saul had 3,000 men at that time. And in verse 5, it tells you that the Philistines had 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. So imagine you're in battle and that is what you are facing. So the men of Israel began to run, they began to hide. And those who were with Saul, they were scared, and they also began to run and to hide. And he waited the time that Samuel said, but he didn't wait the whole time. And what he ended up doing is he decided to go ahead and offer the burnt offerings that Samuel was supposed to. And as soon as he did this, Samuel turned up. We all know as soon as you do something that you're not meant to, you kind of like, oh snap, that's when you get convicted straight away. And what Saul then did, he assumed that priestly role, and this was contrary to the law of Moses and the instructions of God's prophet. So he was told, as a result, his descendants would not carry on his dynasty. And the Bible then said, "He, the Lord, went to sort out a man after his own heart." And today we're going to look and reflect on our own personal heart and the instructions that have been given to myself and to you. And I don't know where you are in your life right now or what season you're going through. Despite our failures and our setbacks, our losses and our fears, our struggles, whatever it is that we face, and even in our high times when things are great and there is success, how do we ensure that we have a heart like David and not one like Saul? So I started to look back and I was like, okay, what does the Bible say about my heart? So we're going to go into Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. So, like I said, feel free to write stuff down, feel free to flick through. And the Bible tells us that it is the heart that believes. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. He who believes in Jesus has eternal life. And the Bible even went on further to say, it is the heart that understands. So in Matthew 13, verse 15, it talks about people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And if we are not careful, right here on Zoom, at church, wherever we are, we can become spiritually deaf, spiritually blind, and hindering our heart from understanding what God have and can do and will promise to do in our lives. And this brings me back to a story, and this is a story about a child. The child's age at the time was about age 3 to 4, and the child was born with a hole in their heart. No one knew, so no one knew the child was born with a hole in their heart. And so when the child would be playing, the grandmother would observe the child and realize when the child's playing with other children, the child would kind of stop for breath. The child would take a break. The child would, just take a little time out. And as the grandmother continued to observe, and check the child's heart, sometimes the child's heart would be beating so fast. And the grandmother was the only Christian in the family. And the grandmother said to her daughter, I think something's not right with the child. And the mother said, it's fine, it's nothing, it's children, that's just how they are. And anyways, the grandmother took the child to the doctors to just have it checked out. And that's when they found out that the child, after various tests, the child had indeed had a hole in their heart and was actually born with this. During that time, the mother had to go away. So the mother went to another country, and the child was left with the grandmother. And from that, it started a journey of many early morning trips. So they would have to get up from very early in the morning, 3, 4 in the morning, just to make the 4 trips to go to the children's hospital in the morning. So 4 different trips just to get to the hospital. And one of the visits to the hospital, the doctor said to the grandmother, it's looking very serious. The child's going to need to go under operation in order for any good results to come from this. So the grandmother, one Sabbath, went back to church. A visiting pastor came. And they were doing a session of prayers, and what they did was, they went outside because it was in a hot country at the time. They went outside and they started putting the prayer request on paper, and then they prayed over them, and then they burnt them. And that was that, and that happened. And then the next visit to the hospital, the doctor came, and the doctor was very concerned because this was the final assessment to go into the operation. And the grandmother thought process was, here we go, they're going to say that this child's going to die now. This is it now. And the doctor was very concerned, very anxious, and said, we have to quickly go back and do some more tests. And the doctor then left and then came back again and very confused, sat the grandmother down and said, "We don't know what happened, but the hole that was in the heart is now gone. It is healed. There's no longer no need for any operation. That hole is completely gone and all is well. All those visits, hospital visits, no more." And I want to praise God for that, because God worked amazingly to situations. So bringing it back, that grandmother and the church, they prayed and they believed, as the scripture said, that God would hear them and answer. And he did. He healed completely. He did more than what they even imagined in that prayer, than keeping the child in the operation. That God actually reversed the whole thing. And how do we, like David, he was not perfect. We know David had, as young people would say, some epic failures. David had some epic failures in his life, but he had some great success. And we're going to look at how do we have a heart like David, and we're going to look at the characteristics of David. I'm going to pick out just five characteristics of David, and we're just going to quickly go through them. And the first one is David's faith in God. We're going to look at David's faith in God. And a lot of us on here may know faith. It's all about Hebrews 11, verse 1. So if you have your Bible again, Hebrews 11, verse 1, which says, "Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And if you get the time when you read the First Samuel, verse 17, that's the story of David and Goliath. You will see that David slew Goliath when he was a young boy. And he knew he could not do this in his own strength, but he relied on God to deliver him. And our salvation is not re is received through faith. And Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10 continues to say, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." For me, it sounds like you don't have to do nothing more than just believe in God and he'll do the rest. So we praise God. And David was fully aware that God was in control of his life, and he knew where he was coming from. And so he had a genuine reverence for God and was willing to stand against anyone or anything that opposes this. He had like an outpouring of reverence from his heart from God. And my question to you today is, are you struggling to stand for God? Are you struggling to choose God despite being opposed, despite the giants that are in your life? Are you struggling to hold on to him? And we have to be reminded that in God's word, it is written for us to understand, and every breath that we have, this is what I get from it, is that God is working in us, and he's doing it daily to deliver us and to help us to believe and to understand. And it's for us to look into this and to look at these characteristics, especially having faith and how much God has done it and is doing, and how much work did you do and put in towards this? The second characteristic we're going to look at is David. He had an attitude of gratitude. Again, this is seen in Psalms. There is 150 Psalms, and majority of them is God giving, David giving praise to God. And I have here that if you read Psalms 150, verse 6, and he talks about, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." David was able to praise him in all circumstances, even where he has failed, and he never neglected to praise God. Are you neglecting to praise God? When you are battling your heartache and your confusion and your doubts, do you still praise God? When I used to manage her in Nando's, many of you may know I used to work in Nando's. When I used to manage her there, part of our interview question was one of the interview questions we always go back to is if we were to ask a very close friend of someone, very closest person to you, to describe you in three words, what would they be? And we always used to look at those answers because that would determine the character in which others see you and also in which how you see yourself. And that would be one of the, it seemed like a small question in the whole interview listing, but it's actually one of the most important question. And my question to you is the same question. Would you having an attitude of gratitude be part of one of your top three characters as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, or as somebody who is seeking Jesus? Will this be in one of your three? So as I urge you, and we look at the characteristics of David, let us have an attitude of gratitude. And the third one is David loved God. He loved God and he wanted to do everything that the Lord has told him to do. And if you looked in Acts 13, verse 22, it talks about a little bit from our scripture reading. It talks about after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. David was devoted to God. David was the people around David knew that he was devoted to God. He loved God. Do you love God or do you struggle to listen to God? Or are you refusing? Do you find in yourself justifying the things that you do, justifying the thoughts that you have, justifying the actions? Are you holding on to things that you realize is actually taking you away from God? And I'm encouraging you today to just go back to that first love, go back to the love that you had for him, and it will help you to listen to him, and it will help you to have a want to actually do what he tells you to do. And as part of that, so that's our third characteristics. He loved God and he wanted to do everything that God told him to do. The fourth characteristic, which is the deeper one, is David loved God's law and he was very obedient to it. What's this in today's term? I know there's quite a few young people on here. So what's this in today? That's the Holy Bible. I have it here. And we have it in our homes, whether it's gathering dust or whether it's right there, various versions. The Holy Bible is it, we have it, and we are still expected in today's life to be obedient to his words. How do you become obedient to God's word? David said in Psalms 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I don't know about you, but I was not born in the church and stayed in the church, So, when you are off God and you're saying God and temptations and difficulties come, it tries to bring you back and let you react to the old way and the old self. And, there's things that you would have said or done. And it's the Holy Spirit, it's that word that's hidden in our heart that reminds us you are no longer your old self. Hold off. Don't say what you used to do. Don't act the way you used to act. This struggle can become so real when you have that battle of flesh. But I am reminding you that you have an internal guide and an active resource to help you. And so the Bible is very relevant for today. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. And in verse 17, continues to say that servant of God may be th so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it applies to God's people. If you love God, if you're seeking God, this applies to you. And back then, it applies to them, to David, the prophets of old. It applies to us And it applies for our children that are to come. It never ceases to stop applying. If it's not applying in your life, it's because we have ceased to actually use it and apply it to our lives. And the word of God, in connection to that, is implanted in us and it's able to save us. So James 1, verse 21 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And did you know, and I can testify to this, you don't need to do it in your own strength. I'm so thankful at it because I wouldn't probably do half of the things that I do now if I had to do it in my own strength. So God is there to help you. He's there to help you to understand. And John 16:13 reminds us, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So knowing God through his word, it actually frees us from any emotional, intellectual, any spiritual prisons that we find and we tie ourselves in. And in John 8, 31 to 32, it says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus says, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" And this is for you. This is for me. The purpose of the Bible, everyone, for me, I am learning, it's not about informing us and giving us all these things. The purpose of the Bible is to transform us, it's to change us. And the Bible reminds us that there are certain dangers that we need to make sure that we don't fall in. You know, the cultural dangers, the dangers of human traditions. You know, it talks about in the days of Israel that the leaders of the people had forgotten the word of God and taught doctrines, tradition of men. And that's why the Lord said in Matthew 15, 8 to 9, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are merely human rules." So my question to you guys today is, what teachings are we showing our children, our spouses, our grandchildren, our family, our friends? You know, no matter, and young people, especially young people, will get this, how good the concealer is, whether you get your concealer from Primark, Poundland, wherever, or you go all the way up to MAC or La Mer, no matter how good that concealer is, when you put it on, eventually there's going to be a time where you have to wipe it off. That concealer has got to come off at some point. So just because you feel where you're thinking that no one sees, remember that God sees and God knows your heart. And we cannot do anything to change our sinful nature. And that's why we're going to go into the fifth characteristic of David, which is his true repentance. And remember, when you turn away from God, you turn away from life and you enter into the territory of death. And in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, it talks about God wants in everyone to repent. It says, "Say to them, 'As surely as I live,' declares the sovereign Lord, 'I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways, and why will you die?'" And so I'm going to read from Ellen White says in Spiritual Gifts, Volume 4:4a, it says, "When David, or should I say, have you departed from God and stained his virtuous character by his crimes, he was no longer a man after God's own heart. When the righteous turn from their righteousness and do evil, their past righteousness will not save them from the wrath of a just and holy God." And Steps to Christ, page 24, 25 says, "The prayer of David after his fall illustrates the nature of true sorrow for sin." So if you look into Psalms 51, where it talks about, "Have mercy on me, O God," you know, that prayer, it talks about he there was no desire to escape judgment. You know, he wasn't threatened. He was inspired by his prayer. David saw the enormity of his transgression. He saw the defilement of his soul. He loathed in his sin. It was not for pardon only that he prayed, but for purity of heart. He longed for the joy of holiness, to be restored to harmony and communion with God. Are you longing for the joy of holiness? Are you longing to be restored to God? Have you departed and is struggling to repent? Are you struggling with coming to terms with the wrongs, not that others have done to you, but that you have done to others? Are you still lost and confused and in that darkness where you really don't know how to get out? I encourage you, turn to Jesus. We need to repent. In the Youth Instructor by Ellen G. White, it says, David often triumphed in God, and yet he dwelt much upon his own unworthiness and sinfulness. His conscience was not asleep nor dead. My sin, he cries, is ever before me. He did not flatter himself that sin was a matter with which he had nothing to do that should not concern him. As he saw the depths of deceit in his heart, he was deeply disgusted with himself and prayed that God would keep him back by his power from the presumptuous sins and cleanse him from the secret faults. So those are the main characteristics. You know, we want God to accept our worship, especially if we are struggling with forgiveness. We want God to forgive us. And remember, 2 Peter 3, verse 9 to 10 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Are you accepting the Lord's calling, or are you rejecting it? Is there a serious conversation? Sometimes I have to have a conversation with God. Is there a serious conversation that you need to have with him? Remember, he is patient and he is waiting for you. And with all those characteristics, his faith, his love, his repentance, and, you know, his obedience, I just want to encourage you with John 14, 1 to 3, when it says, Christ promised to come back for those who believe in him. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. A lot of us, we know this. We sing this in every session that we can. It says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, to take you that you also may be where I am. I just want to praise God for just loving us unconditionally, that despite our foolishness, he just really has hope. He has given us this hope that says he is waiting. He is patient. He is aware of your weakness. He's aware of your darkness. You know, the word, the Bible that we have today, you know, so privileged to just have it out without fear of persecution. Thank you, Jesus. The word brings encouragement in times of difficulty. And in Romans 15, verse 4, it talks about for everything that was written in the past. So yes, we were discussing David. David, it was in the past, but it was written to teach us so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So we must be ready. You must be ready, because if you're not ready, you will be left behind. Matthew 24, verse 44 says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what night or what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. If somebody was to tell you now, God is coming at the time, 2 o'clock today, would you do and change anything in your life? And it's very likely that some of us will start getting our house in order right now. But we need to be doing this because he is going to come. And the only thing to that is we are not going to know the time. So we need to be prepared right now. And because he is our only hope and our only salvation, I don't want to be left behind. I don't want you to be left behind. And 1 John 5, 11 to 12 says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So, all these characteristics that we talk about, the heart and the believing and the understanding, we have hope that it's all there to guide us to this life in Christ. And ultimately, when you have this, ultimately, when you are seeking this, the joy of salvation or ultimate goal, I always go back to Matthew 28, 18 to 20, where it says, the joy of Shabbat, it should always be shared with others. You should always, our job is to go out. And in John 4, 29, 39 to 42, also it says, come, see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more believers, many more came, believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior. He is the Savior. You know it. We know it. We hear it. Sermon after sermon, we read it, we pick up the devotions, we talk about it. Do you believe it? What is your heart saying? Is your heart saying Jesus? Or is your heart confused? Is your heart seeking him? Who is your savior right now? What things are you holding onto in your heart that you need to give to Jesus? Saul had been after the heart of Israel. And like Saul, are you chasing the pleasures of this world and trying to do the most? Are you working all the hours for man? Are you spending all your time with them and none with God? Are you focusing on the big cars? Are you focusing on getting a big house, a bigger house, on getting the most money, more money? We always want more money, more money, more things, more responsibility, more money, more money. Are we looking to be the most popular? Are we looking to have on our social media the most likes? Are we looking to be the more independent? What are we searching for in this world? Is it to live just for now, or is it to live for that hope that is right here on our shelves? The Bible is right there instructing us to be obedient, instructing us to love God, to have a reverence for Him. Or, so my question today to you is, or are you attaining to be a man like David, who is a man that's after God's own heart? And in conclusion, and bringing this to an end, I'm going to urge you to tell Jesus about your heart. I'm going to urge you to be sensitive to his voice. I'm going to pray that you have a heart that want to believe, to love, to have faith, to praise, to come to repentance. Only the Lord knows that if it wasn't the prayer for that grandmother of that child, where would that child be right now? And I'm telling you, thanks to Jesus, that child is right here speaking to you. This child that grandmother prayed for with that
Amen.
hole in their heart when they were three, four, running around, was me. And my grandmother had a heart that believes. My physical heart then needed divine intervention. And I thank God that he placed someone in my life who has a heart that believes. And she was able to pray and see that God delivers. And I just want to just encourage you and ask you, what is your heart condition? That's my grandmother's heart condition. But I have to work on my heart condition. You have to work on your heart condition. And maybe the question never crossed your mind about your heart and my heart. And I thank God, okay, my physical heart is healed, but my spiritual heart, I praise him that every day he has given me life, that it stays in tune with him. And are you in a situation that needs divine intervention? Are you struggling are you finding it a challenge to learn and to find understanding of the words? Times right now, it is not what we anticipated. And you know what? It might get worse, and it will get worse because we're going home, and he tells us that it's going to get worse. And if we want to go home, we have to brace ourselves for what's to come. So are you fearing the unknown? Have you gotten lost along the way? Have you walked this path before and you're struggling to come back home? You know, have you backslided, and have you keep backsliding? You don't know why you keep saying yes, Jesus, and tomorrow you run and you go back to your old self. I am encouraging you to talk to Jesus. When the situation gets tough and your back is against the wall, we've all been there, and it seems like you can't make it through. And we all know the song. The song says, "Stand." I am urging you to go one step forward, one step further, and says, "Tell Jesus, because he will bring you through." Amen.